Let's just bow our heads and start with a little prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would grant us the light of the Holy Spirit, to recognize truth, and inflame in our hearts a greater desire to do your will in all things. Speak to us here this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, many times that which is insignificant in our estimation has great significance and value and worth in the eyes of God. You have the first readings from the prophet Michael, one of the 12 minor prophets, and he's prophesying about the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is about 4 miles south of Jerusalem, and he says, "Oh, Bethlehem, too small to be among the clans of Judah." So you're insignificant. You know, Jerusalem, that's where the temple is. But he says, "But from you shall come forth the one who is to be the ruler in Israel." So he's prophesying 700 years before the Christ child that God has special designs. You may seem insignificant in the eyes of many in the nation, not even worth enough to be part of too small to be among the clans of Judah, but you have great significance in God's eyes, great significance in the role of the salvation of God's people. And so when the Magi, when they would come later, following the star for the birth of the Christ child, and when they speak to the rulers in Jerusalem, the rulers of Jerusalem, this is the prophecy that they look at. It's the prophet Micah, chapter 5, that the birth of the Christ child will take place in Bethlehem. Now, another thing, that in our spiritual lives, in our lives, many times things could seem insignificant, things that happen to us, different crosses that come our way, whatever it may be. But if in our hearts we offer it up to the Lord, it has great, great significance. When we make the act of will of giving it to the Lord. Now, in the second reading, the letter to the Hebrews, there's a dialogue taking place. And it's a dialogue really between Christ and his Father. And Christ is saying, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire." He's referring to all the Old Testament sacrifices. "But a body you prepared for me. And a holocaust and sin offerings you took no delight." And then it goes on about this body that you behold. "And behold, I come to do your will." So God becomes incarnate, a body prepared. So Christ then can offer up that saving sacrifice. But you and I, we're here in this realm of time and space. We have a body. But what do we do? What do we do with the bodies God has given us? Do we praise God with our tongue? Do we try to mortify our bodies and offer up sacrifices? Now, at the very beginning of Advent, we were very blessed to have Father James Kubicki, the head of the Apostleship of Prayer in the United States. And he was speaking, touching on this, and he said it's so vitally important in our spiritual life, in the interior life, to make a daily offering. How many times during the course of the day we let so many graces pass by us? But if you make a morning offering, and you're in a state of grace, your whole life and everything you do become a great prayer that has great significance in the eyes of God. Well, there's several morning offerings you could do. Essentially, you're saying, "Jesus, I give this whole day to you." And more specifically, you could pray this, the prayer that he taught us, and we have it back on the shelf, the little apostleship of prayer card. It says, "Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings today, all in union with the Holy Sacrifice Mass offered throughout the world, for all the holy souls from purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the Universal Church, those within my own home and within my own family. Amen." So you offer up all your prayers, your works, your joys, your sufferings, everything. But we're doing it through Mary. She's Mother Most Pure. She sort of like purifies our prayers and intentions. And in union with Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Sacrifice, Mass offered all throughout, to make that intention is huge, is monumental. So little things we do during the course of the day that take on a great significance if we made the act of the will and intention of uniting it to Jesus Christ. So if you're doing it, praise God, keep it up. If you're not, hey, get on board. You're letting all these years go by and you're losing out on all these graces, right? We shouldn't have that attitude, "Well, I just want to make it to heaven." No. We should make that attitude, "I'm going to climb up higher and higher. The Lord says, come up higher, my friend." So we just settle for lukewarmness. What happens? We start drifting away and the Lord says, "I'll spit you out of my mouth." So always strive to go higher that daily offering. Now, the gospel. This is a beautiful gospel. It's the second joyful mystery of the rosary, the visitation, where Mary, the mother of God, who's just received this message from the angel Gabriel, and she says yes to God, totally unequivocal, is everything, a total surrender, her fiat. And she's just filled with grace, so much so the grace has become incarnate in her womb. And she follows the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth needs help, and she shoots off and says, in haste, she went to help Elizabeth. That was about a 4-day journey. It's about maybe about a 70-mile trip. And Our Lady goes there to help Elizabeth. Now, the moment that she gets there, something happens. Elizabeth recognizes who Mary is. Not just her name of faith, but the significance. She recognizes who she is and who she's carrying in her womb. Now, there's no way that Elizabeth knew this on a natural level. This just happened when Mary conceived. There was no text messaging, Twitter, or Facebook, or email, phone calls. There was nothing like that. Our Lady goes right up there. But what happens? Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognized who Mary is and who Jesus is. It says, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So Elizabeth's like in awe of what's just been revealed to her, who is standing in front of her, that the mother of the Savior is there. And the Savior now is under her roof. And so much so that the child in her womb, St. John, is sanctified by the presence of Christ there. And he leaps for joy. Now there's a lot to be learned from this. One, we need the Holy Spirit for us to recognize things that are significant. How many times things in life pass by us, we don't recognize it. How many people don't recognize Jesus in the Eucharist? How many people don't recognize when they go by a church, the significance? Wow, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass is offered there. That Christ dwells in there. Or how many times different crosses or contradictions come to us in our daily course of life and we don't take advantage of them? Or how many are even blind and they don't recognize that life is growing in the womb of all mothers? There's so many things about we need the light of the Holy Spirit. The last couple days, I've been reading different things, the mystics and the saints. And Our Lady said this to St. Faustina in her diary and in other books I was reading. Pray to the Holy Spirit and to enlighten the mind. So we just have a very short time, folks, before Christmas, right? So tomorrow afternoon, we'll have the Christmas Eve Mass starting at 4, so it'll be on Christmas Day. So we have just a little more than 24 hours before Christmas. Take advantage of this time. If you've done the poor preparations during this Advent, well, you know what? God can make up for that. Get down on your knees. Get down on your knees before the statue of Our Lady or a picture and pray the rosary to say, "Mary, you know, I've done a bad job or not a good enough job that I wanted to during this Advent preparing for the birth of your son. Please supply for what is lacking. I ask your intercession." And just pray a rosary from your heart. Ask Our Lady to intercede. Now, Mary goes here. What she teaches us, first, we have to be people of prayer. When we're people of prayer, then we're receptive to God's voice. And then God sent the angel. And then, by prayer, she has the grace to say yes. But it doesn't stop there. Then she brings Christ out to others, to Elizabeth. And so in a lot of ways, we're like Mary. So right in just a little while, we're going to receive the Christ child. He's going to be dwelling in our hearts. God means for us that when we leave here, that those graces that are of Christ in our heart, they go out and touch other people. You know? Some people tell me stories like right after you got in the parking lot, it seems like Christ has been forgotten. But, you know, try to hold on to that. The mystics have said, and our Lord has said, "I remain with you after communion as long as you think of me." Here's something I want to give you. The next, especially for Christmas, you keep this to help you with the interior life. Keep a little prayer, what's called the fervorino, going in your heart. There's a couple little prayers. There's one, most of you probably know this one because I've said this quite a bit over the years from Mother Teresa. Here's a little prayer. It goes, "Oh Jesus, living in my heart, I believe in your tender love for me." So picture your heart. If you're baptized, Christ is dwelling spirit. If you're in the state of grace, Christ is dwelling there. "Oh Jesus, living in my heart, I believe in your tender love for me." So then you have this interior conversation that's going on continuously, and it makes you so receptive to graces. So receptive. Mother Teresa would have the novices pray that 100 times a day, just so they could live that life in communion with God. And it's not just for nuns and priests. It's for moms and dads. It's for students. It's for athletes. It's for all of us who are baptized in Christ. We're called to live a life in Christ. Interior conversation. Here's something for those who go to confession more frequently. When you go to confession, keep this in mind. During the day, typical day, is your conversation in your heart with yourself? Well, I have to do this, I have to do that, well, I'm going to say this, well, I wish I said that to this person. It shouldn't be like that. The conversation, if we're living life trying to live the Christian life to the highest level, our conversation throughout the day should be with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What our interior conversation is going on during the day gives us an indication where we are spiritually. So Mother Teresa, when these nuns came in, we said, hey, you got to be in connection with Christ through conversation. So do this prayer. Oh, Jesus, living in my heart, I believe your tender love for me. The Eastern tradition, they would pray the prayer, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. A prayer they would have like beads, like 100 beads. Maybe you've seen it with the Orthodox, the Easterns, and they just pray that over and over to keep that conversation. Here's another one, too. Hopefully, maybe you have some you've already doing, but another one is, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. So some kind of prayer, a little prayer, a sentence long, or I'll give you one last one, this would be really easy. This is from Faustina's diary. She did this at the beginning of the diary. Five words. Mary, lead me, guide me. Mary, lead me, guide me. Or make up some other little prayer that it keeps you connected with Christ throughout the day. And when you do that, nothing in our life will be insignificant. When you're driving your car and somebody cuts you off or someone's driving crazy, you'll say, praise God, an opportunity to practice patience. If you're praying at that moment when the car cuts you off, if you're in union with Christ, whoa, how many times we put our foot in our mouth? We weren't praying, we weren't thinking. Or how many times we blew off the handle? If we were praying at that moment in union with Christ, would you have blown off the handle? I think not, right? So let's do this. When we receive community, let's ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, I want to grow into your life. I want you to find a heart that's welcoming for you at Christmas, that's all cleaned up and looks beautiful, that's decorated. Lord, give me the grace to keep some little prayer going in my heart throughout the day, whether I'm driving, whether I'm cleaning, whether I'm working, whatever I'm doing, help me to be in union with you. The Lord wants our spiritual advancement more than we do. He does, but he wants us to cooperate. So let's call out and beg for the grace through Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.